Something for the weekend. It's Trina Mari here, and we're joined by the very glamorous Dwyer sisters. Good morning to Liz and to Nikki. Welcome in.
Thank you very much
for having us.
Now, I know Nikki a long, long time. Liz taught me how to do the makeup years ago in her beauty boot camp, and first time meeting you, Nikki, so you're very welcome in.
Thank you very
much. So, listen, tell me all about this new big event that is happening at the RDS.
So, we are hosting the world's first ever clinical anaesthetic show for the consumer. It's never been done before in the world. There's been a massive explosion in the industry of clinical beauty and aesthetic beauty, and we thought it was about time that we brought the pharmaceutical and the medical industry directly to the consumer and bridge that gap, because nobody's talking to the consumer, and we want to be the first ones to bring the best in the business directly to the consumer, so you can find out what exactly it is you're putting in your face or your body, and give you access to the best in the industry.
We were slagging you there, and we were saying, Liz, is it going to be all about tits and teeth?
Absolutely not. So Future Beauty Show, as it's called, it's the next level in the beauty industry, okay? So what a cream isn't going to solve? We all get to a point where we go, do you know what? The cream isn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. And it might necessarily just be for something like, you know, wrinkles. It could be so many other things. Like, you
like
need
bags under your eyes and things like
under
that.
Your eyes.
Remember Louis Walsh had them removed a few years ago, and the difference that made.
Yeah, wow. And actually, that's a really simple procedure to do. But anyway, it doesn't even have to be the extreme. So the whole idea of Future Beauty is it's encapsulating everything in the beauty world that is a move or a step on from, let's say, cosmetics and maybe what you get in a beautician's. So it is anything from leg vein removal to teeth whitening to veneers to lasering your skin to like tightening your neck with ultrasound to radio frequency. You know, we often see all these lasers being used on Instagram and on social media, and you're like, what do they do? How do they work? Like, they're actually amazing. And they don't just work on a superficial level in terms of the vanity side of things. They also have a lot of physiological elements as well. Like, i.e., we're doing a whole talk on transvaginal laser. Sounds a bit scary, right?
But it's the morning, Liz.
I know. No, but listen, hear me out. Okay.
So I knew it was going to be risky having Liz Dwyer in.
Well, listen, postpartum prolapse is a really, really big issue for women.
Yeah. Honestly, like, we're talking about, obviously the show is going to involve all that stuff, but there is other sides to this industry as well. Like, as I said, if you have prolapse, if you have
acne scarring,
if you've had like a mastectomy and you need to talk about breast reconstruction, you know, I mean, there's so many other things to this than just, let's say, what people might think of something that might be like crow's feet, might be kind of a vanity side of things. But again, that can be physiological too as well. So we're covering everything in the show. So we have a main stage, and on the main stage, on the hour, every hour, we have a different set of panel experts, and then we have like literally the best dermatologists in the country, the best plastic surgeons, we have gynecologists, we have obstetricians, we have cosmetic doctors, we have cosmetic nurses. Everyone is above board, because there's a lot of dodgy people in this industry.
Yeah, and you need to make sure you're going to the right people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is the whole premise of the show, is we want to educate women. This is not the same as a cream that doesn't work and you can just put it aside. This is a big, big jump, and you have to be so careful what you're doing, who you're going to, and you cannot be literally handing your face, body, teeth, skin, whatever it is. It's an organ. You're handing it over to someone. You need to understand what you're getting yourself in for.
What about these mad lips, Nikki, that are going around the place?
I know. Stop.
I mean, are there going to be loads of women at this with the big lips?
Well, we imagine there probably will be. But, you know, I think at Future Beauty, our ethos is very much about bringing like a high ethical standard. As Liz was saying there, there's a lot of cowboys out there in the industry
And cowgirls.
But there's a lot of cowboys out there in the industry, and you have these huge lips and these huge fillers, and there's like an ethical standard here that needs to be shared, and also there's real risks associated with these massive lips.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with getting those fillers, and they can be quite nice in people, but it's going to somebody who knows when to tell you enough is enough.
Extremes.
This is the problem. The industry is unregulated, and that is a huge issue, and it's something we're going to, like, obviously we can't come in as a regulatory board, but we want to try and bring some standards and, you know, rein it in a little bit and say to people, look, you know, if you are going to get lip filler, it is such a minefield. You think you're just going into someone because they're wearing a white coat, they're going to give you the best advice. That is not the case. You don't know what the product is. Where is the product coming from? Is it from a reputable pharmaceutical company? How are we supposed to know this? What is your training?
If something goes wrong, do you know how to deal with it?
That's a real big problem,
actually. That's a prescription situation. And the A&Es have been calling out saying, guys, people are coming in here with issues with fillers. We don't know how to deal with them. There's a thing called ocular blindness. If someone puts a filler wrong in the teardrop under the eye, it can cause blindness. If someone can put fillers in wrong in your face, you can have all sorts of problems. And you don't have to be a doctor to administer filler, which is kind of a really, really grey area in this country. So you can go and do a course, you can get licensed to administer filler, and you mightn't have the necessary training.
Right, so I could be doing it in a few weeks' time.
Well, actually, not even a few weeks. Yeah. You can actually do a course for
by next weekend.
So the whole thing is that like we really want to enforce a high ethical standard in this industry, and we very much want to show women that there's a real importance about what you're putting into your face. You don't want to lose a lip or a chin or a forehead from using a dodgy filler. Like, only reputable doctors, reputable nurses, with reputable products should be used. And
can I just say as well, like, there's a lot of things you can do without even touching a needle. Like, there is so much that can be done in terms of with lasers, with lactic acid peels, you know, the next level, cosmeceuticals, which are kind of very active ingredients. And like, the medical doctors will know exactly what's going to work. You go into a cosmetics hall and you're literally gambling your money away, going, is this going to work? I don't know. Uh-huh. It looks lovely. And you come out 200 euros later, having a clue if it's going to work. You break out in a rash next week and it goes in the shop.
Yeah.
You go to a doctor or nurse or someone who's very well trained in this area, they're going to say, actually, you know what, this cream for 20 euros on prescription is going to solve all your nightmares. You
okay.
know? I think we need to get like that. In America, everyone has a derm on speed
dermatologist
dial. Everyone has their derm, you know, whereas here it's a funny one. And up until January you had to go to your doctor to get a referral, and now you don't have to do that anymore, which is awesome. So we have a load of dermatologists and they're going to be talking about everything from, as I said, adult acne.
That's definitely what I need, because I'm allergic to everything.
Yeah,
exactly. Every cream that I try, I come out in a rash.
Exactly. So eczema. So they'll be talking about their best treatments for the last, you know, they've 70 years experience between them, you know, and it's evolving all the time. Then the plastic surgeons will be talking about loads of other things, whether it's a mummy makeover, whether it's a breast reduction. Apparently is the number one treatment in our number one surgical procedure at the moment in terms of breast.
The
everyone
back
wants them
pain
reduced.
That it can cause.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind now.
I know.
They're kind of a bit large.
You can have a fat transfer now, so you can take fat from your tummy.
Perfect.
And your boobies. I know. That sounds like everyone wants that.
But they're real issues for real women, you know. It's not just about vanity, and as we're laughing, we're saying it's about teeth and tits. It's not just about teeth and tits. It's about real problems, like having oversized breasts. It's about having painful, you know, varicose veins. It's about having rectus dysesthesia, which is when your muscles separate postpartum, getting that fixed. And apparently, you know,
and no amount of sit-ups is going to change
that. And the thing for women,
incontinence is another one.
Stress incontinence, mm-hmm. prolapse incontinence, and all
the
these
glamour.
Other, the but glamour, also like acne scarring,
as well as the crow's feet.
Acne scarring, and you know, like skin cancer. These are all massive issues that like fall into the cosmetic surgery or cosmetic arena. And I just think it's time that we started to address them, open the lid on all of this. It's not just for Hollywood stars anymore. This isn't just about like vanity anymore. This is about real problems and us not suffering anymore. And it's about, you know.
And there goes Nikki's phone.
Sorry.
And also
my derm on speed dial.
And also on that note, it's like, you know, I suppose 5 or 6 years ago, no one was talking about this. It was very hush hush. And if people were getting a treatment done, or if they were,
you rushed in the door.
You're like almost going in the back door in the car park. Whereas now, I definitely think the next generation, the Instagram generation, the millennials, they've opened up the conversation. They are, you know, much more open about what they're up to getting done. You know, all these celebrities who are like, oh, I've had nothing done. You're looking
at
JLo.
They just got a
facial.
Renee Zellweger, she's got a whole different face now.
Seriously.
Different head.
We call them the Botox deniers, because they're like, oh yeah, no, I just like, I get like, you know, facials, and you're like, that is absolute you know what.
Can I ask you though, is there a certain age that you think is kind of too young to be thinking about these kind of things? Because I mean, it's getting younger. I know, like, even the girl who does my hair, she's only 22 or something and she's getting everything done.
There's kind of an argument for it. We've had lots of kind of conversations with our doctors about it, and some of them will say the earlier you start, the more you can preserve what you have, and it's never about reversing the signs of aging. So like, if you go in at 50 and you're saying, I want to look like I did when I was 21, it's not going to happen. It's not realistic without some major surgical intervention. But if you're going in and you're little, you know, you're younger and you're preserving what you have, it just never really changes. Demi Moore is a prime example of that.
Are you joking? She is so surgical.
Listen, she's been doing lots for years and years and years, but doesn't she look great? And like, it's just a preservation, it's not a reversal.
I would say, like, yes, there is a too young, but I think when you're in your 20s, you know, actually getting good skincare advice from a dermatologist, you're never too young to get that, or from a good skincare doctor or good skincare nurse. I.e., you know what they're going to say to you? Put your money into sun cream, put your money into a serum. You know, don't be spending all your money on these crazy, you know, bad creams. It's not going to cut the mustard.
Okay, well, it sounds great, and it's definitely never been done before.
Never.
I know a load of these shows, you kind of go, same old thing again.
No.
This is so different. Future Beauty. So it's on. It's the world's first clinical anaesthetic show, on at the RGS between the 7th and the 8th of September. And you've got some amazing people talking about this as well. Where can we get tickets, Liz, to that?
You can get tickets on the website, which is futurebeautyshow.com. And there, at the moment, there's an early bird special. And we'll have loads of cool stuff the show. Like, you can come in and have a complimentary laser treatment. You can come in and have chiro facials. You know, everything is going to be there for you. Can get DNA skin testing.
I've even heard of this stuff.
I know, Frotox. We'll have lots of consultants there. We'll have lots of derms there. We'll have lots of doctors. So there's people you've never had access to before. Mm-hmm. We're all going to be in one place for one weekend. Lots of knowledge.
Well, it's great to be able to ask some questions because you might be reluctant about making an appointment with them and you feel under pressure. And,
exactly.
You know, so you can get the information without actually going to that level.
Yes.
And the cost, exactly. Yeah. Thanks, ladies, for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Looking fabulous as always. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.